everyone. Welcome to this episode of Follow the Money. I'm Bradley McLean, co-founder of Regulation Asia. Today, we delve into the complex world of name screening in non-Latin scripts cross-border. KYC practices crucially affect AML checks. Joining us are two distinguished experts in the field, Andre Lung, co-founder and CEO of AREV, who recently was named a rising star in the PEPs, Sanctions and Name Screening Solutions category at the 6th Regulation Asia Awards for Excellence 2023, and Mabel Chu, co-chair of the Reg Tech Committee at the Hong Kong Digital Finance Association. Together, they'll shed light on the varied approaches institutions, tech firms, data providers adopt in screening non-Latin names. Welcome, Andre. Welcome, Mabel.
Hello, Brad.
Hello, Brad.
So we've got a lot of ground to cover today. Let's just jump into it. So we've recently seen a significant jump in money laundering cases. You know, we've seen in Singapore several individuals arrested over that $2.8 billion seizure. So I guess as a starting point, Mabel, can you talk to us a little bit more about the implications, I guess, of that case? And from your perspective as an industry expert, how banks perform KYC, account opening, as well as the lessons you think that we could have seen or the lessons learned from these types of situations?
I think what happened in Singapore was, of course, a shock to everybody, because the city-state has been one of the major financial hub in Asia. And to have it discovered actually is a wake-up call for banks, not only in Singapore, but in region or globally. It doesn't mean that banks have to adjust its process in doing CDD or AML checking. We still do the same things that we do, but probably with a heightened kind of level of awareness of what potentially can go wrong. And I don't know whether Andre have anything to add, whether your other clients have stepped up further on their AML.
Sure, yes, I do have some heated conversation from some of our clients, potential clients and partner, who are asking the industry expert, you know, what are the new implications to the traditional way of handling AML KYC checks and to face a more stringent regulatory compliance. And what I'm aware, especially in our region, where we have more individuals with multi-languages in terms of the names, the address, and some of the background information. So it adds some level of intricacy in terms of simply just doing the due diligence in the English language. So there has been pain points in terms of getting the optimal amount of data source to perform the KYC or anti-money laundering checks, as well as the actual analytics to screen the name with multi-language. So that has been some heated discussion between the industry ecosystem, including regulator, to whether they should have some more added guidance in terms of the mentioning of non-Latin characters in our region, such as Chinese or Japanese, that how we can actually have some new technologies, what we call RegTech adoptions, to help financial institution to automate the process more efficiently and effectively.
So you mentioned heated conversations. Tell me more. I want to learn a little bit more about that. But maybe let's take a step back first. Now, tell me a little bit more about this name screen processes for non-Latin script regions. I mean, how do they fundamentally differ from other, you know, English-speaking Latin scripts in various regions?
Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the availability of data source. And most obviously for AML name screening, we need some reliable data source. And most prominently will be, for example, WorldCheck or Dow Jones. And so they have been widely adopted globally. And they are very important data set for AML checks. And they also need to collect the data directly from the original source, such as the like the OFAC SDN list. And just taking the example where the OFAC SDN just added some new central individuals pertaining to facilitating the procurement of the Russian weapon. And some Chinese individual owned companies get added to the list. And if you're really looking at the example from the original source, some Chinese individual names got only the pinyin without the original script in like traditional Chinese or simplified Chinese. Whereas some names in Chinese company, they do have both. So therefore, it will be quite difficult for the data feed to add an official Chinese name to the cases where it doesn't officially include a Chinese name, where some other cases they do have both. And so therefore, how can we really have a consistent way for the banks to handle the combination of AML checks with like Chinese character or Japanese character together with the English form, which actually transliterated or romanized from the original language. And therefore, we need some better way than just transliteration or romanization. And that's what we believe as a leader in the new approach, what we call native to native. So it means that we go beyond transliteration. We actually look at the language natively without any translation or romanization, but looking at the original language script natively. For example, the shape of the character in Japanese kanji or Chinese character, do they look similar? Do they really have different variation but really mean the same word? So that is what we call in Chinese called yi tai ji. So there are so many intricacy that we have to consider. And I would say that this also happened to Arabics as well, because Arabics also have different form of transliteration and different form of abbreviation that also has to be handled with the understanding of the local culture. And so I would say that this is what we consider the more enhanced way of checking the non-Latin characters beyond simply just transliterating into English. So that will be the innovative and new approach that would disrupt the way that to handle the AML checks more precisely.
So Mabel, you know, Andre's just talked about native to native, but I want to take a step back. Let's think about the regulatory expectations. Now, obviously, we've just commented on the fragmentation, how some institutions are collecting both, let's say, the Hunza and the Pinyin, and then others just have the Pinyin. I mean, number one, in your experience, why is this the case? And then two, what are the regulatory expectations? Do local regulators have a different opinion to international regulators? And how are multinational firms kind of addressing these pain points?
HKMA actually has stepped up its attention and promotion on what banks need to do in terms of their name screening and name checks, exactly as what Andre said. Chinese characters are just structured very differently. Chinese words are like logo graphics. And so it's completely different from the English and the, you know, Latin-based languages that we have. And like previously, before we used the new technology, our bank would use the traditional and more, you know, well-established companies in doing name checks. And we found that our compliance officers spent a lot of time just going through all the false positives, because if you just use the Pinyin, which is the phonetics alone, the combination can be numerous. It's just very difficult for them to handle. We can still get it done, but the compliance officers have to spend a disproportionate of time just to go through it one by one. So there are a lot of false positives. Likewise, we also have a lot of false positives and false negatives. So either way is not good for banks. And I think HAMA has the foresight to understand that this is a problem. And of course, there is a shortage of banking talent, compliance talent in the industry. So not long ago, they have issued guidance papers on what they expect banks to have to do. And what Andre just shared with us actually exactly addressed what HKMA is promoting that banks should look into.
I mean, Andre, you mentioned native to native. How does that work when you have, for example, traditional characters versus simplified characters?
Okay. So the beauty of native to native is that it's go beyond the conversion between the simplified and traditional Chinese, because it is NLP, natural language processing, artificial intelligence based technology, where we got it patented. So regardless of the type of the Chinese character, it will recognize the similarities between these characters, no matter they simplify or traditional. And so therefore, it will alleviate the headache of some of the institution where, so if I'm going to punch in like a traditional Chinese versus a simple Chinese, would I get a different result? Are you able to handle the conversion? And we're using native to native because we took away the inconsistency or discrepancy of the Pinyin variation, so that problem will be eliminated. And so therefore, we highlighted that the benefits is that you get much better quality of the alert in the first place, so that what Mabel mentioned, that the compliance manager will be able to reduce a lot of unnecessary workload to simply discount or to decide whether to keep those alerts. So that is very important first step to reduce the workload and to make the whole process more efficient. And secondly, we also need to help the financial institution to gather more KYC data. So right now we've been talking about the AML, but AML alone is not the complete methodologies, you know, to really to get the full picture of the individual company you want to investigate. Some support of the more local-based adverse news, or even some official KYC, what we call cross-boundary KYC data. Of course, this will get complicated because it all depends on the jurisdictions and whether you can get hold of this official data. But if it is feasible to get hold of this data through some technology vendor to facilitate the automation for the financial institution, it will vastly reduce the time to integrate this segregated data source. And I would say that the combination of the traditional way to handle AML name screening using transliteration, native to native, cross-boundary KYC, all these together will help the compliance manager to investigate the cases in a more accurate manner.
I can't agree more. And Andre was speaking, actually, it prompts me to want to bring up one more point. Because apart from official checking, using the very accurate or advanced technology that Arif have brought to the market, what they can also help is that because they will also bring out the similar words, it actually helps us not only to do the traditional name check, but also do social media checks. Whilst the official source would always be the proper words, sometimes when news get reported on, especially social media platform, people may not check the, may not be so precise. And then the same person, the same negative news, may refer to a name that is similar, but it's not exactly the same. But with what Andre and Arif has introduced to the market, financial institutions can also detect the similar words so that the social media checks will also be captured. So that's extremely important in our AML compliance work.
Fascinating. I mean, Andre also kind of talked about this cross-boundary data. I got it right? Cross-boundary data, right? And you talked about kind of these data gaps. So what happens when you can't bridge those gaps? I mean, one, what are the approaches you see institutions taking to bridge those gaps? And two, if we can't bridge them, what are the regulatory expectations around that? You know, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, this is a problem that I think institutions in Hong Kong would encounter a lot because of the frequent interactions with mainland China. I think most people know that in China you can't do Google search, but likewise because of the new, especially the new personal information protection law, information from China cannot be transferred offshore or across the border. So to do the checks does bring up some challenges for us. And a lot of times we actually have to do on both sides of the boundary. So we do our checks here in Hong Kong, but at the same time, we have to get either friendly partners or we have a service provider or, well, in some cases, especially for banks that are that have a mainland parent, we would ask the main group to help us do similar searches in China.
So the privacy law things, that's really fascinating. I mean, Andre, I mean, especially when we look at China, I mean, how are you looking to deal, or how are you interpreting those rules, and how does it impact, I guess, your work to help really, you know, disclose who's behind each of these kind of KYC AML things?
So we have been trying to push some innovative approach to help banks to gather some official data, which may be only private or can be shared amongst some specific institution rather than sharing to the whole industry. So what kind of role that we can play as a fintech player is that we could partner with some of the banks with this kind of requirement and pain points, and we try to lobby some of the officials. Of course, it will be very hard to tell what are the right officials. So I'm talking official, it could be regulators, it could be government officials, or it could be certain data which are only owned by, say, the police force, for example. And doesn't matter what they are, but we could play a role as there is a demand in the market to track down criminals and fraud and or even sanctions cases. And we have a need to have this kind of data source released to some larger public. Of course, it has to be still restricted to financial institutions because it cannot be for general public use. And banks would not have the capacity, you know, to build technology because this is not their main role. But fintech firm like us can play as the glue between the original local data source from the officials and also the end user from the banks. We kind of put those data together, coupled with the traditional data feed, which are globally recognized for the international compliance, together with some less official source like adverse media. But even with this kind of data source ready, we still need to have a better analytics engine. So that's why we have those kind of native-to-native comes in to analyze, to screen those data from an AML perspective or from the adverse media perspective. So I think all this bringing together will dramatically improve the quality of the alert investigation for AML checks and also KYC.
I mean, it's interesting because I see how obviously the information sharing between a large institution and government institutions themselves is a very logical thing. But the fintechs obviously are the higher risk for a lot of societies. And that's kind of the bridge that you're acting, is those smaller fintech firms where they're struggling to get access to that information.
Yes.
To really help them bridge the gap. Okay, let's just go back to that social media partner. I mean, everyone around the world in different countries really uses it different. So, okay, when we look at the issue of name screening, what is the role of that cultural understanding sensitivity to really being effective in the role?
I think different countries, as you mentioned, will have different perception and attach different levels of importance to what privacy means to them. For example, people in Hong Kong attach a much greater degree of importance to privacy than people in mainland China, who feel that personal data is open to, well, the government at the very least. The government, of course, do respect personal information protect of its citizens, but the people, the data subject themselves, may not have the same kind of awareness or sense of kind of belonging. So I do feel that, it will differ from country to country. But I think name screening, AML checks, these are processes that are widely accepted in a lot of Asian countries. I think especially for Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, and Korea, I think these developed financial cities or countries all understand that this has to be done. So name screening is just part of what they need to do if they want to have a bank account. China is the second largest economy in the world, growing in prominence. And I think everyone would agree that Asia really is going to become more and more important in the world scene. And there are so many, you know, different countries in Asia, each with its own language. A lot of them are non-Latin based. So it makes it all the more important that we have the tools. The compliance practitioners have the tools to do their job properly. And technology certainly will play a role in, you know, assisting that.
So you mentioned you're from Hong Kong, right? Born and bred as a startup, you started in Hong Kong, facing unique challenges here. I mean, from a name screening perspective, what do you see as the biggest factor kind of driving adoption in this part of the world?
Okay. So Brad, I'm so glad you mentioned the word adoption, because being an entrepreneur and a rising star startup is relatively difficult for us to convince financial institutions who actually been regulated to trust our initial capabilities to deploy our solution as one of the core services. So one trick that we carry out is to start small with our clients, and including some tier one financial institution. We have been starting small by trying to penetrate some of the non-intrusive solutions. For example, try to avoid having the customer data store on a cloud, or try to use publicly available data so that the data privacy and cybersecurity concern is of a lesser degree. So there are really four categories that I may highlight to recommend. Is first of all, in terms of AML KYC, one very basic search that most institutions need to do is Google search. So we perform some automated Google search analytics. So the use case is know your customer and know your customer counterparties. So that could be done in a batch mode overnight using our API. So that is a non-intrusive automation to help financial institution. Secondly, it's about our AML sanction screening health check or testing or assessment. So these health check tools, and also doesn't require any particular customer data from the client. So we're using publicly available sanction data for our testing script. So that also can be deployed quite easily with our client, which is quite evident that is how we can carry out adoption quite quickly in that area. And thirdly, is about screening. So screening, we split into two parts, primary or secondary. So I would say it's quite challenging to get our financial institution to use us as their primary screening as their core service in the beginning. And therefore, we are happy to be their secondary screening. So it means that we are here to take the existing alert from the existing name screening system, and then we will analyze the alert using some octo rule creation to discount or keep the alert with our analytics automatically. So that is something that we can help to do some automation work with some level of customization. And lastly, we're happy also to have our full-blown end-to-end name screening process using our alert as in the first place. And then we also automate the alert keeping and discounting, the overall alert investigation process. So I think all this together will be like a what we call a dim sum selections for the institution according to their priorities, requirements, pinpoint in a risk-based approach to perform the RegTech innovation and adoption with a Rift quite seamlessly in a very efficient manner.
And with that, we're unfortunately out of time. I wanted to thank our guest today, Andre Leung, co-founder and CEO of AREV, and Mabel Chu, co-chair of the RegTech Committee at the Hong Kong Digital Finance Association, for joining us today. Today's discussion has shown us that there is a clear path to anti-robust, anti-money laundering efforts and effective sanctions compliance, and it's a nuanced and evolving journey, one that requires continuous innovation and collaboration across sectors and regions. AREV's recognition in the Regulation Asia Awards for Excellence 2023 is a testament to their progress and ingenuity that's being made in this field. So, Andre, Mabel, thank you so much. And to our listeners, thank you very much for joining us on Follow the Money. We look forward to speaking with you again very, very soon.
Thank you, Brad and Mabel.
Thank you all. Thank you.